The Undying Chat.
Welcome back to The Undying Chat. I'm your host, Odin. It's my co-host, Vader.
Hello, once again. Thank you for stopping by.
Yeah.
How are you doing, Odin?
Pretty good.
Why?
I saw something hilarious on game news.
Okay, tell us.
So this person who likes Elden Ring, and they've played Fallout 4 as well. So, you know those statues in Elden Ring? The ones that point you to the catacombs?
Oh, yeah, like, yeah. The old hag lady.
Yeah.
Things. Yep.
There's a fire hydrant in Fallout 4 that looks exactly like it.
Now? Like, is there a mod?
No. It just looks exactly like it.
Okay. Weak throw. We have to put that in. Oh, yeah, it kind of does.
It looks exactly like.
I wouldn't say exactly. Exactly. The silhouette's kind of there.
It's the exact same image.
Fucking hyperbolic for no reason. It definitely isn't the same image.
It looks.
One's a red fire hydrant with wheels on it. And the other one is a witchy hag looking lady with a fire in her hand.
Yeah, exactly the same. I heard fire in both explanations.
You're an egg.
They do look very similar though. It's hilarious.
It is quite funny. And that is a funny find. Obviously not intentional.
I don't know.
Well, scenes that isn't gaming news, but it's close.
It's so much gaming news.
What gaming news, anything that stuck out to you this week?
The developer of Stardew Valley was surprised that the game has hit 20 million copies.
Sold.
Sold recently. Even though it's 6 years old.
Yeah, it's one of those ones. It's like a classic game. It's a modern classic.
And you don't play.
So? There are heaps of games I don't play. This is one of them.
Yeah.
And I have played it. I just don't see the need to keep playing it. I'm very impressed with what he's done.
Yeah, pretty good.
And it's great to see. And I'm really happy and excited for a small developer like that to be that successful. Because even if he made $1 off every game.
$20 million. But every game's like $20.
Yeah, he won't get all of that though.
Yeah, he'll get like...
Sony, Nintendo, Microsoft, they're taking their cut.
But if he got, for say, still $10.
And if he had a publisher who helped him publish it, then they're getting a cut. I actually don't know if he published it himself or not.
Or if he got $10, $5, it's either $200 million.
Pretty good.
Or, what? Would it just be $100 million? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's still very good.
Oh, yeah, he's doing really well, and I'm super stoked.
And I hope his next game will be very good as well.
It's the Chocolatier one, isn't it?
Yeah. Haunted Chocolatier.
Yeah, my concern is it'll be too much of the same. But he's done...
I don't know how chocolate in person is similar.
Well, just like, that you're just making things, and you're going out and collecting things, and then you're making things and selling things. We're talking about the repetition. It may not be enough of a variant. But, hey... People like those games, and I hope he does really well, because he's put a lot of hard work into Stardew Valley, and he still keeps adding to it for free.
Yeah, no DLC. It's great.
And so, he deserves to keep earning money. Well, there is DLC, but it's free. Free updates. And it's not just like things where it's fixing problems, it's actually updates that are adding content, and that's what I think is really cool.
Like, he could have easily done that Ginger Island as a complete DLC. You got to buy it, like, $10, $15. Could have made lots more. But he decided, you know what, update. It was great.
Well, the thing is, though, it probably encouraged people to buy the game from scratch, whereas if they charge, he may not have. So I think it's great that he's getting that support, and I like to support games like Stardew Valley. Rather than games that have microtransactions. So it's really good.
Mm.
And I think I'm pretty sure I'll buy the new game. Is it out yet?
I don't think so.
Why don't we have a look? Yep. Phone catch. See, that was how you saw a phone.
Got like 2%.
That's right. You got 2% of battery to search up.
Woo!
It's only big news I saw. Netflix are still moving into the gaming realm and they're focusing. They reckon they'll have 50 new mobile games by the end of the year on Apple and Android, Google Play. What do you think? Do you think that's a good thing? They've also been heavily investing in games, TV shows. Well, not TV, streaming shows now. Like, we've got The Witcher, they've done Castlevania, the cartoon. I think doing a League of Legends cartoon. So they've been investing in the games media or IP realm, but yeah. They'll be making... Actually, do you remember playing Stranger Things on the mobile, on the phone? That was actually a really good...
I played it like 30 seconds and got bored.
Well, I thought it was a great game.
Yeah.
For a little mobile game, I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I got bored.
What do you think about Netflix? Are you interested in the mobile games they're going to do?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know?
They could be really bad.
I think so too.
Like, if mobile games and Netflix, I don't trust them.
Why don't you trust them?
Transactions. Microtransactions.
Well, that's what I'm worried about. I don't want Netflix to microtransaction mobile games or in-app purchases and stuff. But I'm happy for more games like the Stranger Things game. It was like a retro 80s, 90s game, but just done modern. And it was just a little adventure game with a set in the Stranger Things world. I thought it was really fun. I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I saw you playing around. Isn't like there are, like there, yeah, there yeah, are different so you dimensions. Get, you
well,
can
that's how what the show does. There's the Upside Down, which is like the demon realm, which is a parallel universe, parallel world to our world.
Well, is it actually parallel? Isn't the definition of parallel is that they're two straight lines that never meet?
Yeah, that's what I mean. They're moving alongside at the same time. Time progresses through this world. It's just, but they're not interacting. Parallel never cross over, but you're cross jumping over. So the opening up in the show, I haven't actually seen all the seasons. They open up a portal to go to this other world. It looks exactly the same, but it's covered in demonic vines and craziness, and there's demons and stuff.
Okay.
I can't remember what they call them.
Face eaters. I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Isn't it like one that's just
yeah, it's got like
its
a
head
looks
just...
like a starfish.
Yeah,
splits open like a starfish. Looks like a starfish. Yeah, so I actually don't know. What games they'll be releasing. It's just they reckon by the end of the year there'll be 50. And apparently you can access it through your App Store, Google Play or iOS. And if you have a subscription, you're supposed to be able to play them. I don't know how they're going to do that. If you have to log into your Netflix account when you sign into each game, or if it will take the sign-in you've done on the actual video app. I'm curious to see what they do with it. So I'll watch this space. I'm going to keep an eye out and I'm going to try some of these games when it releases.
Mm.
The other big news is FIFA is no longer going to be a thing.
Woo!
But yeah, that's what I thought too, my stupid soccer game. But no.
I've never touched FIFA.
There's a huge group. Well, we just got FIFA 22
on PlayStation Plus, and I was not.
We should play it just to see how suck we are, like we did the basketball one. Remember how we played the basketball game and we're like, we can't shoot. Like it took us like 10 minutes to work out how to even score.
Vaguely.
Sorry, we should do that.
And then
so
I'll...
anyway, so it's not going away. EA will still continue making a soccer game. It just won't be branded FIFA. Apparently they still have lots of licenses with different football clubs and championships and whatnot. I know nothing about soccer or football.
Yeah.
But they're going to be losing the World Cup element, so you won't be able to run a World Cup tournament within the game,
because
that's what FIFA is. FIFA is the international federation, football federation, or whatever it's called. And so I think that's interesting. That's changing that branding. From next year,
like onwards, Assassin's Creed should do.
Well, they should just stop making Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah,
or go back to making Assassin's Creed games that are about assassinating, not invading.
Not raiding.
And then make Viking games that are about raiding. and so on.
Yeah.
Other than that, I don't know what's news.
Oh, so I searched it up. Haunted Chocolatier does not have a release date.
Yeah, that's what I thought last time.
There was
we
a
looked.
Trailer released in 2021. I think it said October.
Yeah, and I think he's the type of person who's going to make sure it's ready and not try and chuck it out there.
Yeah.
I don't know him, obviously, like, but just Stardew Valley came out. Obviously, it's been fixed and updated and patched over the years.
Yeah, they were like, I think I saw a video. Well, there were multiple bugs, but one where you had two people and you picked an item off the table at the exact same time. You both get the item.
Oh, that's when they added multiplayer.
Yeah. And you could, I think this, you could also type in if a villager or an NPC ever said a certain string of numbers, then you'd get a specific item. Like, it was this, like, glitch where you'd get, like, the item ID, and if a villager said it, like, in the text.
How would they say it? Would you have to...
Via you having, like, if you had your name being that, and you walked up to a villager, and there was, I think it was Gus, the bartender, would say, I think on the first day, he would repeat your name every time you talked to him. So people would just, like, type in, figure out the IDs.
Of, like the golden apple or whatever's the best item in the game.
Yeah, and then just constantly talk to Gus, like, 50 times in the one day. And they'd have, just, like, and you could do it, I think you could have, like, three items in a string together. You could have three different legendary items to get or something.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, and but it's been patched. You could also name a chicken that, and Marnie would say it just the once, and then you sell the chicken and buy another one.
Yeah.
It's, you lose a little bit of money, but you're also getting much more money. Because you sell it, and it's slightly less money than when you bought it.
Yep.
But yeah,
but
it's still worth it.
If you get a really cool item.
You can get, like, a legend fish.
And then sell it.
And yeah.
And that's where you're making your money from.
Yeah.
That's a cool kind of glitch.
But that has been. I named my child that once a string of numbers. Cause,
did it work?
Well, I kind of thought that when it was born, it'd say something, its name, but it didn't. If your spouse every, like, 1 in 100 times says the child's name, and you're like, oh, no.
So you did get an item from it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did.
Oh, pretty cool. Actually, glitches like that I kind of like, and I kind of wish they didn't patch out. Because
I named my other child a fish. It was called Pike.
I was going to say, do you just call it a fish? Hello, a fish.
Yes. No, it was the name was Pike.
Anyway, how did you get me talking about Stardew Valley?
Because Stardew Valley is a good game.
Every time.
It's a good game.
So we don't know when the Chocolatier game's coming out.
No.
I'm definitely interested, and I'll definitely play it.
What, Stardew Valley?
I've played Stardew Valley.
Play it more.
No.
You didn't finish the game.
I've got, like, I just bought 3 games this week to play.
Still got old games that you haven't played.
Exactly. And there's games I want to buy that I haven't because I've got... Because
you gotta finish the Stardew Valley first.
No, I've got to play more Elden Ring.
You finished Elden Ring.
No, I've got to play more Elden Ring.
It's platinumed.
Yeah, I need to get the other 2 endings, and I'm almost there.
Fine, do that, then play Stardew Valley.
Speaking about Elden Ring... I saw, so you might find this interesting, talking about game development. We're talking
you
about...
saw a statue that also looks exactly like
a
fire hydrant.
Come on, don't be an egg. You know, we're talking about Stardew Valley and about some of the quirks that come up.
It's a good game.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I'm not denying it. I don't know why you think I think it's a bad game.
I know. No,
it's phenomenal what the guy made, and that's what I'm explaining, is that with programming, sometimes you have to come up with weird workarounds to make things work the way you want. So I learned about the fire giant, the boss. This is slight. This is in-game-ish boss, if you guys are worried about spoilers. It's a big giant fire giant on top of a big mountain. And you fight him, and halfway through the fight, well, you can actually, he's got a splint, like a bone splint, holding his ankle leg together. And you can crack that, and it will do lots of damage. But then when you get halfway, he actually breaks his leg, His broken leg fully breaks and he rips it off, I think from memory, and turns it into a club, or does he just throw it at you? I'm trying to remember.
I think he uses it as a club.
Yeah, and so now he's footless, and so he's his whole position has changed. And it's one of the boss fights that this damage point you hit introduces.
Does it make like a whole new boss or something?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. So what it does is a cutscene, and how they actually do this, how they actually, the model changes, isn't actually that the model itself has changed. During the cutscene, the whole fight, there's actually two bosses in that arena. One that you're fighting on top of the ground, and there's one that's underneath the ground.
What is it, like the new warden in Minecraft? It digs up out of it. That's what it does. It hides the ground and digs back up.
No, it doesn't dig out. And that's what I mean. And when you get it, and as you fight it, both bosses are taking the damage. So they equal the exact same amount of damage.
And you just don't see one of the boss bars, or it's like merged into the other?
Yeah, you just only see the one boss bar. Yeah. And so when you cripple it and you get to that cutscene point, what's happening is it actually is switching, and behind the cutscene, it's switching and loading in the other boss, which has a different moveset and different animation and different model because he's now got no leg, and getting rid of the old one. And that's why that, but it has the same amount of hit points because you've been damaging it.
Is it possible?
To the length. And I think that's so simple, but very clever. Like, you never know it when you're fighting this boss.
See, I wonder if you get, like, to a certain point, it glitches out, and this just tiny bit of, an attack just comes and clips through the floor, and you die.
No, it's, like, way down.
Okay.
Yeah. But it's still doing, it's still attacking. It's still attacking and doing its thing underground. Got in and
glitched through the world.
They
went to that boss fight in Dark Souls 1 where it's like completely black.
Who did that?
What? That's one of like the in Dark Souls 1. That's one of the boss fights.
Four kings.
Yeah, is that did they somehow do that? They glitched through the floor and it looked all black.
No,
and they fought the boss.
Well, that's you interrupt me. You're saying weird stuff. Like, what are you talking about?
I am weird stuff.
Dark Souls 1. So basically the debug mode, so you can get into the game, so you can basically free the camera and you can move a fly around. And what they did, they actually showed what happens if you kill the boss one hit. And so what happens, you kill it, so they made it their weapon, they're super powerful, so the boss will die one hit. They run up to it, hit its foot, and the health bar disappears, the cutscene cuts to the cutscene instantly. Runs through the cutscene of the giant going rah and ripping its own leg off, and then it loads out of the cutscene, and then the other boss is actually, but it's supposed to be the same boss, just dies instantly. but what's happened? Then they showed they glitched through the ground, and as the boss on top's fighting and wailing away, so is the one underneath. So it's still there and it's still fighting. But it's just you can't get to it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was, it's such a simple way, but really clever.
Or maybe there's a secret entrance on the scene. It looks like
no,
Four Kings.
Why do you always suggest dumb things like that? No, it doesn't look like anything like the Four Kings fight.
I saw it, Odin.
It just looks like underneath a mountain. It's all brown and non-textured. But there's a floating...
I thought maybe it'd just be... You can, see through the mountain. Sometimes in games...
Yeah. They would have tested that. He is way down, so there's no way you can glitch and see him normally.
Man. What if I got a drill?
Oh, man, you need to leave this podcast. I'm going to do the solo, folks. We haven't even got started yet.
Go to Demon Souls. Get the hands of God.
You're already talking trash. Already talking trash. But yeah, I thought that was an interest. Not news, but I thought it was interesting seeing what people discover within the games, these games. And I really
if I could get my hands on a debug camera, I'd love to test stuff.
Well, yeah, and I think you gotta do it on PC though. Oh no, there is guys that do it on console, but I don't know.
I wonder if programming. Other bosses work. So. Well, like Melania.
It could be no, because she starts with a new health bar. So I think that she's literally another boss. That the model. May during that cutscene,
maybe underground. but it doesn't take the same
damage. They do that
damage.
A lot in video games. Actually, we've done a little playing with the RPG Maker.
Yeah, and you hide things.
Yeah, you hide things off sight, off camera.
So you can't see them. And
that's
work.
a very common trick. And then you switch them out. And so there's a switch that happens, a programming switch is like, and switches the models.
Yeah.
And so they'll do something similar to that. But it wouldn't be necessary, because she has her own health bar, because it's a whole new boss.
Yeah, I suppose.
It's just fascinating thinking about the problems they solve with just simple ideas.
Yeah.
And you'd never have thought that there's a second whole boss underneath the ground.
I remember saying this. You know, in first-person shooters, how you hold the gun in front of you, but if you think about it, you can walk like right up to a wall, and the gun would be glitching through, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But to you, it doesn't look like that, because it's the gun that you see there isn't even in the same like dimension, basically,
yeah,
as everything else. It's just like printed on there.
The depth of field sometimes goes a bit skew-wiffy.
Yeah.
With that stuff, but yeah, you're right. Some games, the guns glitch through the wall and they go through it, but yeah.
Anyway, well, yeah, some.
We're getting too off topic. Yeah. There's not really any point in talking about this stuff. It's not that interesting.
Stolen.
But I think that's it for news. Do we have... What have we been playing? What have we been doing? What have we been watching?
I've been watching One Piece.
Oh, yeah? How far have you got along?
Like 30 episodes.
Okay, what do you think?
Pretty good. So, I'm currently to the point... You know the chef man who does the kiki?
Yep, the blonde guy.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. I'm
neither.
Names.
So we found him. The restaurant is burning.
Oh, that's right. There's like the big ship restaurant in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah. I think it's current. No. There was a flashback of why the boy or why the blonde-haired dude basically stayed with the chef.
He saved his life or something, didn't he?
Yeah. He,
And he learned to kick underwater like he did. Because he's a super powerful kicker. That's his whole thing.
Yeah, I didn't see that, but no. They had to live on, like, a little island. And they couldn't even reach the ocean to fish for ages. And they got a little bit of food. Which actually, the dude, the old man, literally gave all of the food to the kid. And there was a bag that the kid thought was food, but it was actually gold. And it was, and we're basically at that point.
He realized how much the guy sacrificed to try and keep him alive.
Yeah, because, the kid had the same dream to reach the All Blue.
Go the All Blue to get all the fish. They want all the fish from the All Blue.
Every type of fish lives there.
Yep.
And that was the old geezers. That's what they call them. The blonde guy. kept calling him an old geezer.
Old geezer.
Yeah,
it's a good cartoon. Said. It's just too many episodes.
Yeah.
I may continue.
I'm going to do it all a thousand. What episode are you up?
I'm at like 190, 195-ish. I ended the Skytopia.
Yeah, I saw...
You watched a bunch bit of that with me, didn't you?
Just a little bit.
Yeah, it was a bit weird.
Them, like, sailing off an edge of the water or something. I don't know. It was weird.
Well, yeah, because it's an ocean in the sky, which makes no sense. But
it makes all the sense.
And none of the sense at the same time. What have you been playing?
Stuff. I don't know.
You don't know.
Elden Ring.
Well, yeah, we know. We've talked about that.
Talk about it more. Blood Bowl. It's,
yeah, that's what we got. We got recently.
Warhammer football thing. Kind of thing. Like American football.
What?
I think. Isn't that kind of like...
Warhammer what? It doesn't make any sense. Blood Bowl.
It made all the sense.
It's a game by Games Workshop. It's an old tabletop board game that I used to play as a kid. And it's the video game version. We got Blood Bowl 2.
And the AI hacks.
So it's...
They cheat.
Yes, I think what Odin was trying to say is that it's kind of an American football fantasy game.
except you're allowed to kill other people.
Well, it's the fantasy side.
Yeah.
Well, you're not, you don't just choose to kill. It's just there is dice rolls and extreme failures can lead to injury and potential death.
It's a more violent version.
Yes. And so you got all, it's all like the fantasy Warhammer character, like races and stuff. So you got Skaven, you've got
some orcs. Yes.
Orcs, at dark elves, elves, chaos, mutants, undead, all sorts. What actually made me end up buying it, because I've been considering buying the board game, Odin. But it's a big investment just to get the board game. So I thought, why not just buy the digital version? And the reason I've been thinking about getting Blood Bowl again, one, I loved it as a kid when I played it. But also, two, I don't know, did we talk about this? How we went and did some miniature painting? I don't know if we did talk about it on the last podcast.
I don't know.
No, we might have. Anyway, it's just to recap, if we did talk about it. Odin, myself, and Aria, Odin's little sister, went to the Warhammer store in town, and we shout out to them, and they were allowed to paint a miniature for free, and you get to keep it, and that kind of set a fire under our bellies, under our butts, to get
to
into
want Warhammer.
To, well, yeah, more so get into miniature painting.
Yeah, although I would love to get like a starter kit on Warhammer.
Well, that may be something we'll do. The problem is that it's expensive. Yeah, and beyond that, if you want to keep playing, to buy more armies starts
more
cost.
Expand.
Yes. but we want to get into miniature painting, and so that led me to thinking, maybe we should just get Blood Bowl, because that's just, you buy, it's a football game, it's a bit more condensed, you can just play as those teams, and if you want an extra team, you just buy that extra team, and
but
you can build
it. We could
get
a whole tank, and I could shoot you with it, and we could paint it.
Yes.
A big old tank.
We could get a Warhammer 40,000 tank. You're right.
And we could put it in Blood Bowl.
I don't think that will work with the rules.
It would definitely work.
We'll just get knocked over from a tackle. Easy.
No, it can't get knocked over. Homebrew.
No, we don't homebrew to make you just cheat. Anyway, why are you doing this to me today? Just way off topic. So, basically, we want to get into miniature painting. It made us want to play some of these Warhammer games, Games Workshop. So we bought the Blood Bowl 2 video game. And I've actually really enjoyed playing it again. It took us a hot minute to kind of work out and remember the rules, because at first it's really weird. You just don't know what's going on.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't really teach very well. You've got to go through the campaign.
If we just jump into a match with no other pre-playing, then it doesn't teach you. And then we're in the deep end. But the game's actually very good at teaching you.
It should tell you you're not allowed to go.
It's not hand-holding time.
Yeah, it is.
Like, man, you're just being... this guy's been argumentative, sake of argumentative. So, but then we started running through the campaign, and it was actually... I've been having a lot of fun. You get to start as the human team, and basically there's like a story, and I'm really enjoying the dialogue from the commentators. There's a vampire and an ogre.
Yeah.
I actually find it really well written and a little bit tongue in cheek. This downside was that we jumped on today to play, and I was three matches in, so I'd started to get a team that with some abilities, and yeah, my save's gone, and I don't know what happened to it. So I wonder if I left it on, and then your sister just exited and jumped into Minecraft or something, and it didn't save. So
very possible.
The file just deleted. So I tried downloading my cloud save from the other day, last night, and it just still wasn't there. So I don't know what's going on. But I've actually had a lot of fun getting back into it.
Just don't play a friendly match. Friendly match, air quotes, against an AI. They will just cheat. Even if they're a lower power level, like their team is a lower power level,
Yeah, it's hard.
Cheat. And I'm starting to think you have as well.
No, there's some of your decision making. It's not, that's the weird thing. It's not really a sports game, even though it is. It's a strategy game. It's about piece placement. Like I played because I lost my campaign, I was a bit annoyed. I jumped into one of the leagues that you
play. And you quit because you got annoyed.
You weren't even here.
Sure, I saw you do it for a little bit. Yeah, you like jumped into a match.
Man, can you just let me tell my own stories instead of telling people what I think? You're just talking through your ears, man.
Like, yeah.
It was a little frustrating, but what I found interesting is that the teams that they were, the problem with that jumping into the league is that we're more advanced teams and they have a lot more abilities, and I don't understand all the abilities. So they were doing things I just had no idea. Like, they had like a fear stat that basically anyone in there and within like a 9x9 grid around them lost the ability, like their dice rolls were reduced, so just you failed everything. And they had like four guys. Yeah, like it covered half the field.
The whole thing?
Yeah, between their team, it basically did. And I was like, this is ridiculous. And so I found that hard. But what they did, they weren't good passers. They actually just literally made a line of guys in front of their ball carrier and would just push down one line at a time. And so they, whereas I've never played it that way. And I thought it was interesting seeing it, that they actually had a whole different tactic than what I would normally do. What I normally do is set up a guy, runner, throw it to him, like American football. Whereas they were just like a running play. And I found that quite interesting. And yes, I did turn it off, but because I had other things to do and I didn't have the time to finish it. But I've been enjoying playing Blood Bowl again. It's been years since I've played. I loved the PC game, the top-down, way back. It was phenomenal.
You got annoyed because it wasn't top-down and then made it top-down.
No, yeah, I didn't like the camera at first. The camera's like this weird side angle 45. And
I didn't mind.
Nah, I made it. I like the camera from being behind, but it lets you change it to the Blood Bowl 1, which isn't the PC one I played years ago. That was a whole nother thing. But yeah, Blood Bowl, good game. I picked up Trek to Yomi, which came out last week. It is phenomenal in a lot of ways, mostly because I love the Japanese setting. It is 100% depicting the old 1950s, 60s samurai films. Each camera angle is established and set up like a movie would be, like one of these movies would be. It's all black and white by design, and it has the elements of these old Akira movies, like Yojimbo, Seven Samurai, where there's motion in every scene. Like you'll walk across. It's mostly a side-scrolling game, especially when there's combat. When there's ever a combat in the area you're in, you only can go left to right.
Yeah.
You can't move up and down in the 3D space of the world. But then there's exploration areas where you can go up and down. So it's kind of a mix of 3D and 2D, but with a fixed camera. Almost like Onimusha and old Resident Evils. But a lot more cinematic, because the camera will be set back. You'll have times when you're dueling and fighting guys like behind, you know, like the rice paper doors, sliding doors they have on Japanese old houses.
Yeah.
And so all you can see is your silhouettes. There's like fire embers floating. There was a scene, I think I pointed out to you, where you're going down like a village and you're fighting some bandits.
There are some people cowering.
Yeah. There were just like some villagers cowering. And so like the cameras, it's like almost set up from the second story of one of the buildings down the street and looking down onto the street. It's so visually, it's a lovely edit to these films. It's so gorgeous in its approach and its look. And every scene has been crafted to look like a cinematic masterpiece. And I'm really digging that.
So they're all made to look like me.
A masterpiece?
Yeah, a cinematic.
All right, if you say so. But the combat, because it is a samurai game, the combat isn't the best. I find it, I was expecting the parries and the reactions to be reactive, that's not a word, reactive, but it's not quite. You almost have to preempt. There is a little glint to the swords on when you parry, but it's like really early that you can hit the parry button. It's not as they swing, it's like as they wind up to swing. And I kind of don't like that. It's a little janky, the combat. It has got better as you go through. You can find new combos and abilities, and I really like you can like do a quick turn, so you're facing away from an enemy, and you can quick turn and do like a 3-hit combo, and I find that really powerful. The combat's fine. I just think it could have been better, a little bit more reactive. You see that sword swing, pow, like Sekiro or even Ghost of Tsushima. I would have liked that a little more. It's a little clunky, but it's not bad. It's a good game. It's really cool. And it's telling a story of a young samurai who loses his sensei and grows up and is protecting the town that he grew up in. And then he trained as a samurai. And basically they get invaded by bandits, and it's his battle. Yomi actually means, I don't know if you know this, but it means it's like the afterlife. I don't know if it's quite hell or if it's just the place where spirits go. I don't know enough about Japanese lore. But early on in the first chapter, when you're a young boy, you play as a young boy, when the bandits first come, you collect some of the collectibles. One of them is, they tell a story of one of the gods who vows to travel to the afterlife to rescue his bride. Or something like that. And I think that's what this game... I mean, I've just gone to chapter 4, I think it is. And it seems like I'm heading into more mystical. They're kind of undead type bandits now.
I think this would be a really cool movie. I don't know. I just don't like...
The combat didn't jive with you.
Yeah, I wasn't into it. But I like the story, seemed really cool. So I think I'm moving.
Well, it is. And what is interesting, there is an easy mode to design where you just slash everybody.
I might.
Yeah, do that. Nothing wrong with that, because you just want to experience the story. Or you can chill with me and we sit there and we talk about it and we play it together. But I really like, I just like that there's games like this. It's clearly it is artistic. It's telling a story and getting a message across, but it's still, you're playing it. And it's just, to me, I find that more engaging than a movie. I love these movies. I love these black and white samurai movies. But it's cool to see it and be a part of it by doing it, even if the combat's not perfect. I'm really enjoying the exploration. Some of the elements of the gameplay I find really interesting. Like I talked about the motion, that's one of the film styles of these samurai movies. You might have a character who's center stage or center of the shot, and he's static. But the world or the scenery is telling a story of drama around him. There might be banners fluttering in the wind. There might be fire embers flying across. And that's what this does, to show the terror or the danger or the desperation of the scene. Your characters still, but the world is in turmoil. And I love that stuff. And what they do with that, because you can't 3D spin around and explore things like you do in a lot of modern games, they have some of these world elements will kind of hint at where a secret path might be. Because it's a very linear game, but there are a few branching paths. And one I came across in chapter 2, I think it was, I came across and it was a cliff wall, and that was clearly where you're going. You could see the path where you had to climb up this cliff. But as I came into the scene, a fox ran across the front of the screen. And like, that's interesting. So I followed the fox, and off to the right of the screen, behind a tree, you could exit into a side room. Well, it wasn't a room because you're out in the forest, but you could enter like a clearing where there was an upgrade item.
That's cool.
And I've noticed that a few times there might be the wind will blow in a direction, or there might be a little a doorway with the light in. And you quickly learn that the world is guiding you to help you find what you need. Mm. You still need to explore, and I have missed a few items, and I've gone back and found them.
Disgrace.
I know. But it's a great game. Trek to Yomi. I know it's on PlayStation. I assume it's on Xbox. It may not be. Check it out if you can. The other game, it's a news and announcement. We bought Salt and Sacrifice, which is a sequel to a game from 5 or so years ago called Salt and the Sanctuary, which I did enjoy. I plan to play it more, but I think I just moved on. I think I've had enough with it. It was a great game. It's a side-scrolling game. In general, I'm not a fan of side-scrolling. I find them hard to explore. Trek to Yomi is not quite that, because it's a linear game. You're not really exploring drastically. You always...
It's a 3D, 2D game.
Yeah. Salt and Sanctuary, the original, you basically, the whole map is flat, and you go up and down, and you got to find paths. I find them hard to navigate and remember where I've been, and so it's going backwards and forwards and recovering your territory. It's a Souls-like 2D game, so it's Souls-inspired, but 2D.
Is it like platforming?
Yeah, so it's a platforming action game, but with that gritty Souls kind of combat and setting.
The first thing I think about when you say something like that, it's something like Hollow Knight, like the 2D.
Yeah, exactly like Hollow Knight. That world, but it's where you cross, you have to go back, whereas Trek to Yomi, you're literally following it to from start to level to the end of the level. Whereas these, you might have to go back, and then you got to unlock something, and you get a new item or a new ability. You can go, and I find them hard. My brain doesn't track and remember. I'm like, I know there's a path somewhere, and end up searching for hours trying to find out where this little hole in the ground was. But great game, Salt and Sanctuary. So I'm keen to get into Salt and Sacrifice. I'm keen to kind of introduce Odin to it. I think he'll enjoy them because of like the magic and the other one. Like I went magic build. And, like, I just melt bosses' hit points by the end of it.
That's my favourite thing to do.
Yeah, and you can restart just, like, Souls games. And I was just, like, the early bosses that gave me trouble, just, like, dead.
was there, like, a naked club build? Were you naked for the club? Is there, like, one of those?
There's always in Souls games. I bet there is. But what... Have you played anything new recently, or have you just been messing with some old stuff?
I kind of just messed around with Minecraft a bit. Found an awesome snowy hill.
That's an awesome snowy hill?
Yeah, I like the snowy hills, because I can build awesome Viking houses.
Oh, yeah, nice.
So I've just shut up, got this world that's dedicated to building structures. Houses.
Yeah, no, it's good to be creative. I'm glad you're still doing that.
I built one that was like, it was somewhat of a longhouse thing, but it needed prismarine, which in this one world, sadly, it didn't have a snowy mountain inside. But I found three, what are they called? The underwater temples.
Oh, yeah.
Like, right next to each other.
Well, that is random, so there's always the chance.
I know, but
it was
great, and it wasn't even that far away from spawn.
Oh, good.
But I also found a coral reef. But I explored them. They're still, I cleared out, I think, at least one of them. And I was at it, but it's really hard to get the prismarine. Because it's got like a scaly kind of texture, it kind of looks like scales that would be on like a Viking house or something.
Like kind of like from How to Train Your Dragon, their roof.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they're like plated, yeah. So I thought
like almost tiles.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted. But since it's underwater,
You're not doing this in creative. You're doing
this is survival.
Adventure. Yep.
Or but survival, I'm, yeah. Copying it off a world creative.
Hey, cool.
But you can't build as easy. You can't break stuff as easy underwater, and obviously you drown.
Yep.
So yeah, I had problems with that, and I tried getting sand and like covering the whole place in sand, and that was gonna take years, so I kind of gave up on that one.
Fair enough. But it's good you're still having fun. It's nice to be creative.
Yeah.
But
I built a new house that doesn't use prism.
Oh, fair enough.
It's a lot bigger.
Viking
a
style?
A lot better. Yes, Viking style still. It just uses wood instead of prismarine as the roof.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty cool.
Speaking of Viking, the new Tiny Epics game has been announced, and it's Vikings.
Did we talk about this last? I don't remember.
May have, but the Kickstarter's live, so this is our free advertisement for Gamelin Games, and yeah, it's been released.
Gamelin Viking.
Yeah, and so I have Kickstarted it or backed it.
Ooh, really?
So hopefully it doesn't take as long as Tiny Epic Dungeons, which we need to play again because that game's great.
Um
so
So you kickstarted it already?
Yep.
Nice.
So last time it took almost exactly a year for like, the dungeons to come out.
Different things you could get the Kickstarter?
I didn't even look at it because I know I'm going to like it. So the base game, and then there's the deluxe, which comes with like the mini expansions that they do. And then I got the full expansion.
Sorry.
Which is Ragnarok or something. So it probably just adds a little bit more chaos to the game.
My death!
It's a recruitment, territory, recruitment, placement, and territory kind of game. No, but it's just it's never too complicated. Like the Tiny Epic games are, they're very simplified. But they're fun. And they just package well. I enjoy them.
Recruitment, placement, tilement games.
Exactly. So I thought you'd like it.
And it's Vikings.
Yeah. No, it looks cool. The arts looks cool. Let's go check it out. I think we're going to wrap this one up early, Odin. I've got a bit of a sore throat from talking already. What else have you got to add? Do you want anything fun you want to chat about? Say goodbye to?
Glad you've had it. It's a good game.
We know. You've got to stop pushing that. You've got to stop pushing that agenda. People will start thinking you're corrupt.
I am corrupt. There's been a virus placed in my brain.
Yeah, he's broken. Odin's very broken.
Always broken.
On that note,
me on my hair.
Thank you. No, I didn't drop you on your hair. Don't accuse me of that.
You're always dropping me on
you're
my head.
You're basically as tall as me. I can't drop you on your head.
Yeah, you can. Pick me up by my ankles, drop me like a few centimeters. Still does damage.
I wouldn't be able to. Anyway, let's wrap up. Thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Spread the word. We need more listeners. That would be much appreciated. And send us a review on the platform you are listening to. So, Odin, say farewell.
Goodbye. Listen again.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.